is Corey.
And I'm Katie King.
And this is True Crime New England, Case Profiles Edition.
Hello, welcome back to another mini episode.
Thank you for joining us on a very rainy day as we are about to embark on some very difficult stories to tell you.
If you are not familiar with our case profiles, our mini episodes, it is where we tell each other and you guys about cases of people of color in New England who just do not get the same media coverage, media attention, and attention from law enforcement.
If you heard one of our case profiles, you've heard the same spiel over and over again, but it's so important that we feel it is necessary to hammer down every single time. So, New England, predominantly white, it's just a fact and that's okay. But as a result, people of color who have crimes committed against them, whether it's murder, abduction, even like a mysterious death, robbery, anything like that, their crimes against them tend to be swept under the rug. Media doesn't cover it as much. Even the police don't investigate it as hard as they should. And that's just a fact. So our goal with the case profiles is to bring as much awareness as we can to these cases, most of them unsolved. Some will be solved, but most of them are not. So our goal is to get as much awareness as possible, whether it's in the format of a recorded episode or on our website and Instagram. However we can do it, we're going to do it. And our format is a little different here. I'm going to tell a story that Katie hasn't heard, and you lovely listeners most likely haven't heard, and Katie's going to tell me a story that I haven't heard, and that you lovely listeners probably haven't heard. And that's how these case profiles go. It's simple, it's easy to digest, and it's important. And today, because it is an odd number, and I went first for our last case profile, Katie, would you mind starting us off today with a no doubt bad story that makes us all sad?
I would not mind at all.
Thank you.
I will be telling you, Liz, as well as our lovely listeners, about the Orinoco Road John Doe.
Oh, interesting.
Also called the Milford John Doe.
Okay.
My sources today are a whopping 2.
Mm.
I have Unresolved Mysteries Thread Reddit and DNASolves.com.
Oh, I've never heard of that website.
Me either until this case.
Interesting.
In August of 1992, a couple was walking in a wooded area near Orinoco Road in Milford, Connecticut, when they discovered skeletal remains near the railroad tracks.
Oof.
The remains were wrapped in a pink blanket, then in an olive-colored blanket, and 2 green trash bags.
Oh.
The couple immediately called police.
Good move.
The road was not a super commonly used spot for people to walk on, so it was not clear how long the skeletal remains were left there.
Hmm.
The remains were determined to be from a male, and after further testing, investigators determined that the remains were from an Asian male between the ages of 18 to 25 at the time of his passing.
Hmm. Usually those ranges are a lot bigger, so I'm glad they were able to pinpoint it a little more.
Yeah. He was estimated to be between 5'3" and 5'6", and weighed between 120 and 140 pounds. Due to the level of decomposition, investigators were not able to determine eye color or hair color. 90% of the remains had been skeletonized, which led police to believe that he had died up to 2 months before his remains were found. His cause of death was determined to be 2 gunshot wounds to the head.
Ooh.
Police had recovered 4 small-caliber gray metal bullets, and investigators concluded that the man was killed elsewhere and that his remains were relocated to that area where they were recovered in.
Hmm.
This would also add up because the trash bags and blankets wrapped around the remains were still intact.
Oh.
Several items of clothing were also recovered from where the remains were found, including a size extra-large Fruit of the Loom brand undershirt, a brown belt with a yellow metal buckle, a pair of size 27 waist denim pants, a long sleeve button down shirt with the logo Forever on the left chest pocket, and a pair of size 30 to 32 Fruit of the Loom brand white underwear. During an autopsy, investigators noticed that all of the man's teeth, including his 3rd molars, had erupted and that no cavities, dental restorations, or abnormalities were identified.
Huh.
So they couldn't really reach out to any dentist or anybody like that because he hadn't gotten any dental work done, so that kind of ruled out that part of the investigation.
Interesting.
Since the discovery of the remains, investigators have tried looking into any leads about the identity of the man, Bullet fragments from the man's skull were pulled for further examination, and forensic artists put together a sculpted figure to attempt to identify him.
Oh.
Other police departments were contacted to see if any similar crimes were committed in other areas. 19 years later, in September of 2011, the case was entered into the National Missing and Identified Persons System, otherwise known as NAMIS, as number UP9242, but no matches were found. In 2022, the Connecticut Office of the Chief Medical Examiner partnered with Othram Labs, a company that performs all casework-related service in-house, with essential infrastructure and process for testing forensic DNA evidence. 2 years after the man's remains were found in 1994, another set of remains were found on the same road.
Oh, shit.
A torso, to be specific, was found on Old Oranic Road in a duffel bag. The body was wrapped in plastic bags, tied in shoelaces and a comforter, and placed into the duffel bag.
Huh.
Old Oranic Road branches off from Oranic Road and is more secluded and wooded. This torso was believed to be that of a 5'5" to 5'6" Hispanic male between the ages of 25 and 30, weighing about 130 pounds. Authorities believe he had been dead for at least 3 days.
Oh.
The head, arms, and legs had been amputated by someone who was familiar with the procedure.
Interesting.
There was also a small chest wound where it seemed like an identifiable scar or a tattoo was cut out and removed.
Interesting.
The male also had a small leaf-shaped birthmark on his lower back.
Okay.
Authorities do not think that these two cases are related. However, with both of them being people of color and both of them being found in the same general vicinity, I did want to mention the case of the torso found on Old Oranic Road as well. It's actually thought that the serial killer Richard Rogers is responsible for the murder of the unidentified man whose torso was found because he is currently serving time for killing and dismembering 4 men in New York.
Oh.
Milford, Connecticut is located off of the Long Island Sound and is about an hour and a half away from New York City.
Okay.
Anyone with any information on either case is asked to please call Milford, Connecticut Police at 203-878-6551. Anyone with any information about specifically the Asian male John Doe is asked to please contact the Connecticut Office of the Chief Medical Examiner by calling 860-679-3980 and letting them know that you have information on agency case 92-7994 or NAMIS ID number UP9242.
Wow.
And that is the Oranic Road, John Doe, times two, technically.
Very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
I think maybe you could tie that to the, what was his name? The serial killer, Rogers?
Richard Rogers.
Interesting. I think you could maybe tie him to the Hispanic male, but perhaps it could be somebody who was trying to take out men of color, whether it's Asian or Hispanic, and had a dump site. Because that is very close on secluded roads that aren't walked very often. Like, that's too close to be a coincidence, I feel like.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
2 years in between them.
And wrapped very similarly.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe because the other body of the Asian male was found, removing the limbs and identifiers was done more carefully to kind of tweak his routine. You know, to be a little more careful. That was my first thought.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. And Othram, the DNA genetics lab that has been doing so much, is the most wonderful organization. I see so much about them, like, on Reddit and stuff.
Yeah.
They have solved so many things in the past 5 years. So many old cases. It's incredible.
It's crazy.
I want to say they helped with the Lady of the Dunes. I want to say they had a part in that. They might not have, but they're one of the most popular organizations that works with those kind of cases.
Mm-hmm.
Very interesting.
Liz, what I'm sure will be as equally disturbing and sad, what case do you have for us today?
Well, I have a case for you, Katie, and for our lovely listeners, based out of Hartford, Connecticut. It is the story of the murder of Wakas Rehman. I actually surprisingly had 3 sources.
Wow.
Which I really had to dig for, and that's okay, but it just really hammers our point home. I used some information from CT.gov, I used NBC Connecticut, and I used the CT Insider. On December 1st of 2010, Hartford, Connecticut police were alerted to Barber Street, where there were reportedly shots being fired in the area. When police arrived, they found themselves in front of a store called the Smoker's Shop. On the ground, just behind the store, was a man suffering from several gunshot wounds. This was Wakas Victor Remen. He was 42, from Farmington, Connecticut, and he actually owned the Smoker's Shop. It was his business. There were also 3 fired shell casings and 3 live rounds at the scene, and they all belonged to the same .22 caliber long rifle. So clearly, whoever committed this crime was not very bright, because that is exactly how you get caught.
Mm-hmm.
Never, ever, ever leave A, the shell casings, and B, the live rounds at the crime scene. Even I know that, and I hate guns. Come on. You're such a novice, this guy. Ambulances were called, and Raymond was rushed to the closest hospital, as they often are, but unfortunately, he later died from his injuries. He had been shot, again, several times. Later, several witnesses came forward and claimed that they had heard Raymond engaged in a loud shouting argument with another unidentified male. They claimed that they heard it. They didn't see it. So there was no visual witnesses to this crime, just auditory. Which is interesting. I don't think we've really covered many cases like that.
Right.
Which, it kind of throws a wrench in the investigation, but it does give something. So, apparently, this unidentified male was loudly demanding money and for Raymond to get in his car. When Raymond refused, he was then shot several times. These witnesses that came forward allegedly only heard the altercation. They did not see any part of it. Again, could it be something maybe that was more like they were scared for their lives? Could it be fear of retaliation? Maybe they really did just hear it. It's very possible. It did happen behind his store, so it could be. There was DNA taken off of the live rounds, and DNA was taken from the rear of the driver's side door of Raymond's SUV, which he was actually laying next to. I think he was trying to leave work or trying to escape. Of course, this unfortunately led to nothing until 2023, 13 years later, almost exactly a year ago. By the time this comes out, it will be just over a year. In January of 2023, Hartford police arrested 32-year-old Sean Milner, a career criminal, in the murder of Wakas Raymond. He was arrested thanks to DNA testing. Yay! Everyone clap in your homes, unless you're driving. Keep your hands on the wheel, please. This guy, by all accounts, piece of shit. And I will talk a little bit about some of his charges, but damn. When I looked up his name, just to kind of get more information, it was like, Connecticut man arrested blah. Connecticut man, duh. Connecticut man did this. And he's like, imagine if Florida man, but Connecticut man. You guys know what I'm saying?
I know exactly what you're saying.
He's a real nut job.
Mm-hmm.
Who clearly just does not care about himself or others. Because he's constantly getting in trouble. So, in 2022, there was a report formed by the DNA database unit that took DNA from a buccal swab from Milner, which is one under his cheek, essentially, because of an unrelated crime, and they compared it to the DNA from the live round found near Remen's body, and they just couldn't ignore the striking similarities in profile. I don't know if they necessarily directly were like, hey, let's test it against this, or if it was in the database and just once his DNA was put in, it was like, oh, ding, ding, here's a match. That's what happens a lot now. In fact, this is crazy to me, is the accuracy and the numbers and statistics you get from these DNA tests. The DNA was at least 12 million times more likely to have come from Milner than from any other random person. It basically meaning, like, it's him. Like, what are the chances it's one of the other 12 million people in Connecticut? Like, okay. Yeah. And because this is so new, there's not a lot of the latest news. But the latest news actually did come and was announced on my birthday, exactly 3 months ago, October 26th, 2023. The fact that it was my birthday is completely unrelated, but I just wanted everyone to remember it was my birthday. So with this article release, we learn a lot more about Milner himself. They kind of compiled everything that I saw in my searches, like, Connecticut man this, Connecticut man that. We learn that Sean Milner has 9 criminal cases pending in several different Connecticut courts. He's currently serving a 99-month prison sentence for violating probation. He also faces a hefty $2.3 million bail in all of his pending cases. Most of that comes now from the murder that he's now been charged with. He also frequently, unsurprisingly, represents himself in these cases, which often involves him filing handwritten motions, like on prison legal pads, in his own handwriting, trying to file legal documents to the court. I imagine they're written in pencil. Very crudely, this guy. As of right now, we are waiting for an official trial date for the murder charge in the unnecessary slaying of business owner and hardworking man, Wakas Raymond. Not a whole bunch of information on his actual case, but what we do know is that there is a man connected by DNA who is most likely responsible, and given his, 9 pending criminal cases, seems like he's capable of doing something really messed up, like demanding money, and then shooting someone in the head. Oh, and then being really dumb and leaving live rounds and casings at the crime scene. Seems to really make sense. So hopefully, guys, we get some answers soon as far as, like, a trial date. Again, this was just a year ago, and it takes a while. Especially when you're representing yourself and writing penciled motions. So yeah, hopefully his family gets some justice and soon. I mean, it already is crazy that after 13 years, all of a sudden they probably got like a call and were suddenly reminded, A, of the tragedy, but then given so much hope, which is nice. So I hope we get some information soon. If we do, I will definitely be posting it on our Instagram. But yeah, those are two really interesting cases. I really hope we find out something about your case, Katie, because having them work with Authram is great.
Yeah, that's huge.
Some good stuff. Guys, if you wanted to give your opinion on these two cases, or if you wanted to suggest a case of your own, you can find us several different places. You can go to our Instagram, True Crime NE. You can go to our website, truecrimene.com. You can find us at our email address, truecrimene@gmail.com. And you can send us any kind of case for our case profiles, or just our episodes in general.
Yeah, under our contact page on our website, you can be anonymous, so that is always an option if you feel like maybe you're a little close to a case or there are some kind of sketchy details, maybe it was recent, but do not be deterred if the case you want to suggest to us doesn't really have a lot of information. You would be surprised at what we can do with not a lot of information.
Right.
And worst case scenario, we would just do an Instagram post and a post on our website to still get the cases out there, but not be back at square one where we can't talk about them because of the lack of information. So do not be deterred, send them our way, and we will do what we can.
Absolutely. Well said, Katie. And with that, we'll see you on Thursday.
Bye.
Goodbye.